As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Howdy, everybody. This is Arthur Staple. You're listening to No Sleep Till Belmont, your Islanders podcast from The Athletic. Just want to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together with the best of live and on-demand. Learn more at DirecTV.com. We're joined again, round three, from our good friend, former Islander, former Ranger, former everything, Michael Grabner. What's up, Grabs?
Going on, guys? Nice to be back.
It's good to have you back. And we have some actual Islander games to talk about. And maybe given all the excitement that we had last week talking about how good the Islanders were going to be, this could be a bit of a letdown, shall we say, these first two games. They have another game. Their third game is tonight in Chicago. I expect them to be a lot better, but we'll talk about what they'll look like going forward in a minute. First two games, 6-3 loss in Carolina, 5-1 loss in Florida. Some good things, but a lot more not so good things. Grabs, you know, with a team with this kind of expectations, and I know that in your Islander days, expectations were not exactly front and center. But when you start off and kind of trip going out of the gate, does it kind of shake your head a little bit to say, like, look, you know, we thought we were going to be good in the preseason and here we come and we're stumbling a little bit. But or if you're on a good team, you just know that you have the confidence to get past a couple of bad ones.
Yeah, probably the later part. I'm sure they're going to be fine on the road. But for me personally, the teams I've been on and we had good starts, it made a lot of things easier, obviously, going forward, right? Like, if you can have a strong first 10 games and kind of position yourself, it's always easier to kind of play from that position than coming from behind, even if it's just like 2-3 games, right? Like, this league moves fast, and like when you fall behind the eight ball a little bit, it's never fun to catch up. But again, they have a strong team, so I'm fairly confident they're going to put it together and kind of work their way back. But yeah, if, like I said last time we were on, if you take the Islanders out of the equation, I think Carolina, for me, one of the better teams in the East, right? Like, even Florida, a lot of skill, and you saw the last game. So if we said that 10 years ago that we're going to be talking about these three teams being one of the better teams up in the East, right? So yeah, but that's how the league is, right? It's fun to watch, to see some other teams emerge over the years. And yeah, those were some tough starts. I watched the Islanders play some of their game. I think they had stretches where they looked like Islanders hockey, but I don't think they were consistent enough yet to say like they play like they want to, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and I think one of the aspects that that was hurting them these first two games was Matt Martin's absence. It's not necessarily that Matt Martin is the most important Islander or the most skilled Islander, far from it, but that line with him and Casey Cizikas and Cal Clutterbuck, I've said it on this show over the years that we've had it, I'm sure you know it, even though you didn't really play with them as a trio, that those three guys, when they're together, seem so much better than they are individually as guys that are pretty late in their careers as bottom six players. They seem to be the kind of the beating heart of this Islander team. And maybe that's something that was a little bit missing there, that grind that those guys bring kind of from the drop of the puck.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously they feed off each other well. They've been together a long time. Like you said, they just know their role, right? So I think it's big in games like when you get scored on or you score a goal, right? They always talk about the next shift being very important. Can I get the momentum back or can I keep it? And that's what they're good at, right? You throw them out there, they're just going to keep it simple, get the puck in and go on a forecheck. So I think when Marty's coming back, I think tonight I read he's back in the lineup. So that should hopefully rejuvenate that line and hopefully give the team a little spark here.
Yeah, that's probably something that they need. And I think, you know, it's funny. It was pointed out to me, and I also kind of know it from being around this team. They, since Barry Trotz has been here, they haven't gotten off to the best starts. I mean, a couple of years ago, kind of the last full season in 1920, at least the when it started off to be a full season, they were 1-3 after their first four, and then they ripped off a 15-0-2 run. And even in the pandemic shortened division only schedule last year, they had a 10-game winning streak about five or six games in. I can't remember exactly what it was. So this team is clearly a team that needs to kind of find its level. Did you sense a little bit of that? You know, they have a couple of new guys that they were trying to work in, a couple of veteran guys in Chara and Parise that haven't quite been as effective as you'd hope they'd be. But does that kind of stuff, even with a full training camp, does it take a little bit of time when the live games start coming?
Yeah, I think so. I think nothing can compare. I don't care if it's training camp, exhibition games, like, you're trying to win a game in a regular season and the points are on the line, it's just different, right? So, like you said, I think they need to kind of settle in, get their game going. Like I said, I've seen spurts of it, but not consistent enough like, through these first two games, which I think we're going to see more and more coming, though. Like, they're going to get more consistent throughout the whole game. And, like, even the Florida game, I think they outplayed them. They came out strong in the first period, right? And then but then you get scored on, you kind of fall behind, and it's just the way sometimes hockey goes. But like I said, I think they're gonna find their identity, their game. Like, here it's a long season, you don't want to lose any games, but again, I think I've seen some of the traits that the Islanders have had the last years and why they were tough to play against. And once they put together a full effort and know what it takes and how to play to win, I think they're gonna probably go on a roll again.
Yeah, and I'd say if we're going to talk about some of the positives, we should probably get into that first. You have to like what the top line did with Anders Lee and Matthew Barzal and Kyle Palmieri. I kind of speculated a little bit in training camp when Barry Trotz said that was going to be his top line, that maybe Palmieri and Anders Lee might kind of play the same sort of game where they like to grind it out, go to the front of the net. Maybe that wouldn't help Barzal. Certainly against Carolina, that line was dominant when it was on the ice, maybe not quite as much against Florida, but it's a really dynamic first line, and Palmieri being there is kind of, at least through these first two games for me, kind of eased the concerns about Jordan Eberle not being there, who was a guy who meshed really well with Barzal.
Yeah, it was obviously tough for them losing him, but you like you said, Palmieri coming in, he's a good player. I played with him in Jersey. Yeah, and I agree with you. Like, obviously, I tweeted about that we are predictions off to a hot start, at least in the scoring department, and after the first game, with Lee scoring and Barzal scoring. But yeah, like you said, they had some good shifts there, some built some momentum, and I think they did the same thing. They're just gonna get stronger as the season goes on, and as the more they play together, obviously. So yeah, I'm excited to see what they can do. Maybe especially next coming games here, and they're gonna need those three guys going if they want to go on a roll here. So they need to be their best players, obviously.
With Anders specifically coming back from an ACL, I mean, you had a couple of injuries that you needed to come back from, different than an ACL. But when you're coming off something that's a long term thing, you know, I assume that the confidence to be able to do what you normally do takes a little bit of time to come back. When you see him parking himself in front of the net, planting his legs, jousting with the defense like he usually does, do you kind of say to yourself, even without him scoring a goal, which he did against Carolina, when you see him doing that, do you say, like, okay, he feels good about himself and about his knee now?
Yeah, for sure. I think obviously knees and stuff, it's always tough to come back and just go out and do what you did before your injury, right? Like, I never had any knee problems, lucky, but I'm sure it takes a few games or even like just a few periods to just like try it out and like just mentally to stop thinking about it, right? Like, when you go out there and you need to be doing things on instincts and just like not think much, right? So like, I think when you come back, it's obviously always a little bit of question in the back of your head, how it's going to feel and stuff. But I think once he sees that there's no pain, nothing's tweaking, yeah, I think that goes quick then, and he'll be back to just doing his normal self, battling in front of net, grinding guys down.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Grabs, we were just talking about doing things on instinct as it pertains to Anders Lee and his knee. Instinct is also important when you know the system and you're able to kind of do things without thinking about them first. I thought a little bit in these first couple games, especially with Zdeno Chara in that second game where he was a -4, which is a stat we all know is a little bit garbage, but it's still one that's out there. He was on for 4 of Florida's 5 goals. I don't think Chara played bad these two games, but he did look like he was maybe thinking about the system a little bit before he would make a move or try to, you know, be decisive in his movements. You've certainly been in a couple of different teams and systems and played for different coaches. Does that also take a little bit of time, no matter what? I mean, Chara's a first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt, but even he needs to be able to kind of get that stuff down pat, I would assume, before it looks smooth out there.
Yeah, I believe so. I think a lot of these guys have played together for a long time and they know the system, right? So it's easier for the guys that's been there for the most part. And then like new guys coming in, the systems they vary a little bit, obviously, from team to team, right? But again, it takes that little bit of few games under your belt to kind of get used to it. Also knowing where every guy is going, right? Like it's not just the system you're playing with, like whatever, 15, 16 new guys or whatever it is. So again, that comes down to like, I think 10, 15 games from now, you should probably be just fine. It takes a little bit of time in the beginning to get used to all the different circumstances. And obviously, you should rely on a very good structured game, the Islanders, and that's why they've been so hard to play against. So everyone buying in, and I think we're going to see that going forward.
And they've given up a lot of goals. You know, Ilya Sorokin has played both games. He's going to play again tonight in Chicago. He might play 2 of the next 3 over the weekend. Semyon Varlamov is with the team. He's been practicing. Barry Trotz said today there's a chance he could be ready for the weekend when the Islanders have back-to-backs in Arizona. I don't know if you're going to go, Grabs, but they are playing out there. And Vegas. So obviously Varlamov coming back would be a huge help. And I think the thing that Trotz said today that really kind of encapsulated how Sorokin's played is that he hasn't been bad, but he hasn't given them a big save when they've needed it because the team has been breaking down in front of him. And that's obviously when you need your goalie. And this is not really a team the last 2 years that does a lot of breaking down. So when you watch some of these goals go in these first two games, are you thinking the goalie needs to be able to stop one or two of them, even if it's, you know, a breakdown that might not be a situation he's used to seeing?
Yeah, probably. The good goal is to give you a save when you need it, right? But again, like, I agree. I don't think he has played bad. And the first two games, they're Carolina and Florida, they have some skilled guys up front and some D-men that can make some plays, right? So, like, they were throwing pucks at the net. And again, we want him to make a save, which gives it kind of some energy to your lineup, right? And say, hey, let's wake up here and help him out. But again, it's I think we've talked about it. That's not been like the full Islander hockey we've seen yet. So, and goalies, the last years, I think a lot of goalies look pretty good just playing behind that kind of lineup and that kind of system, right? So, again, I think 10, 15 games from now, we're going to talk about a lot of different things than now. So it's, let's let it play out. Like I said, I don't really buy into too much in the first few games here. Like you said, the last years they came off to a slower start and then still dominated, right? So of course, you want to make it easy on yourself and start off hot, but that's just not the way it works sometimes.
I do want to make sure I mention that Brock Nelson scored a goal in the opener. And I don't know, Grabs, if you're familiar with the Brocktober hashtag that goes around on Twitter. But Brock is a hot starter and has been all the way back to the times when you were an Islander, when he was first starting out. I think people still see him as this streaky player. To me, he's been one of their most consistent forwards, if not the most consistent forward in the entire time that Barry's been there. And he's a bit of an enigma because I think people sort of see him and he looks a little bit relaxed and he never really kind of cracks a smile or looks like he's hurrying to any situation, but he's a real complete player. And he's also kind of a pain in the ass on the ice. He likes to mix it up a little bit. When you first encountered him, were you thinking like, is this guy like, is he fully here or is he thinking about something else? Or was he always kind of like a lot different than the way that he presents himself on the ice?
No, like, so I've played with some guys that are like that right there. Seems like the heart rate is like below 30 beats a minute. Like it's just the way it is. Like that's the Brock and that's his demeanor. But again, that goes back to, we talked about Bales a few times ago. People keep having the same perception of people, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't know what it is. It's just like they have this thing that they thought about this player or this person. And even though he evolved and he changed, but people still say the same thing. I think he might have a couple bad games and they just still make him out to be the same player that he was 10 years ago. Like you said, he's been a great player for the Islanders the last years here. He's doing a lot of the hard work. He's been consistent. And somehow it's tough to shake this. I don't know. It's weird. Like I said, like I agree with you. He's been a great player for them and he's going to have a strong season. I don't expect anything else.
And right before the season started, I think we did touch on it a little bit. Ryan Pulock signing his 8-year deal, going along with Adam Pellick's 8-year deal. They've been pretty good as a pair, as you would expect in these two games. In a 2-game stretch where the team has given up 10 goals with the goalie, and you leave out the empty netter in Carolina. But Pellick hasn't been on the ice for a goal against, and there's been a lot of breakdowns, and I don't even know that Pellick and Pulock would say that they've played their best so far. But when you have a pair like that, that's become so reliable, and not really necessarily a flashy pair. There's no Erik Karlsson. There's no Keith Yandel. There's no Ryan McDonagh to kind of like lug the puck up the ice or play 30, 35 minutes. These guys are just very well matched together and they do what they do and then they get off the ice. When you have them at least playing well, that's got to be a positive sign to kind of know like, okay, our best guys are playing well already. And if the rest of us get in line, we can get through this.
Yeah. It's a great pairing, obviously, for them. They signed probably a steal for the Islanders. The contracts they signed too. So that boy was loose doing again. But yeah, they're going to have Islander fans going to have a lot of fun with those two guys. And like you said, they've been good. They just know their job. They keep it simple. They play a rugged style, right? Like I didn't like playing against them. They made it hard on you in front of net. A couple cross checks here and there. But it's the same as the Parcell line, right? Like the top guys they had some pretty decent game so far. So like if everyone else can pick up their slack and just like put together a full 60 minutes, I think we're going to be watching a whole different Islander game than the first two games here.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So now we'll kind of wheel around the league a little bit. I know, Grabs, that you keep track of some of the other teams that you played on. I know that we don't really want to give too much love to the dreaded Rangers here because this is an Islander podcast. They're off to a good start almost entirely due to Igor Shesterkin, who has been playing lights out. And your old team, your most recent team in Arizona, which must be a strange sight for you to see them because you played with them barely over a year ago, and I don't know how many guys are left that you actually played with, but what do you think of them that when you see them? They had, you know, have had a couple of competitive games, had a real clunker on opening night, but otherwise kind of a weirdly thrown together team with a new coach. What do you think about Arizona?
I think it's going to be a long season for them. The fans, they're in for a long ride here. But it's the, I think no one expected anything else from what they did in the offseason with trying to acquire a lot of draft picks, obviously. And, yeah, like you said, just kind of weeding out the team. They got rid of some of their best players to, like I said, to acquire those draft picks. So, yeah, it's going to be a long season, kind of like the early years in the Islanders. But again, I don't think anything else was expected with all the moves they did. And yeah, I just hope for the guys that I still know on there that they kind of can enjoy hockey, right? Like it's, it can get tough along the stretches, especially those November, December, January months when you're not winning much. It's a long season, but they got to make the best of it and just try, yeah, to enjoy the hockey season. And yeah, for the Rangers, yeah, they had a good start. I didn't really watch too many games as of yet, but I've seen that the goalie stood on his head. I think that's been a staple at the Rangers the last, whatever, 20 years. The goalie's stealing a lot of wins. So, yeah, you see if he can keep it up. And obviously, they have a lot of fun players to watch up front as well.
And you mentioned about Arizona, and you know it's going to be a long season, and mentioned some of your Islander seasons, you probably knew the same thing right from the start, even if no one was going to say it. How do you kind of, you know, what's the motivation level for you when you see the standings by the end of October, early November, and say it, you know, unless we turn things around completely here, it's going to be a long, long year and you still have 60 or 70 games to go?
Well, for us, it was a little different, right? Because we had a young team. So we were kind of just trying to get experience, kind of get our game, build the culture, whatever you want to say. So here, there's still some old guys here, like, right? Like, they got Ladd, they got Kessel, they got some old Louis Eriksson. Like, they got some older guys. So it's, I think they're just trying to prove them people wrong and be competitive and just, like, be in games, right? But for their thinking come November, and if they're, like, pretty far back, I don't know what you would say. Like, for us, I said, it was different. We were a young team. We're just trying to get experience, kind of get into the league, right? Like, it was one of my first years. And so I think the circumstances in the two are a little bit different. But, again, you just got to play. Like, it doesn't matter. I think I said it last time. As a competitor, you want to win every game. Doesn't matter if you're – what your record is, what your stats are. Like, if you start a game, you want to win the game, right? So it's no different if you're first place or last in the league. So they're gonna do their best. They're gonna go out there and battle, and I hope they can have some success along the way here.
And you mentioned a couple of your guys that you're friends with, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Connor Garland, who went up to Vancouver. That team's kind of an interesting one. I don't know if you've watched them play yet, but they're kind of on this East Coast swing. They had a game they almost blew in Philly and won in a shootout. That's just an interesting situation. Do you know those guys pretty well? Were they excited to be someplace where they had more of a chance to win? Is it you started out in Vancouver? That's also kind of an interesting place fan wise for Canada too. Is it what do you make of that Vancouver situation?
Yeah, I like playing in Van. The fans were good, and I think those guys were happy to get up there and join a team that already had some skill. Like I said, like, I don't mind the team. I think they have a decent setup for skilled players up front. And OEL, as I said last week, going up there and not having to worry about being captain and hopefully kind of finding his game again. I think he scored in the first game, right? Mm-hmm. So I watched the last game a little bit at the end. I don't know if that was a high-sticking penalty call or not, but you can't give up two quick goals there, right? You got to kind of buckle down, even though it's an unfortunate penalty. But they did pull it out in a shootout. So they're still somewhat young, too, I think, up there, and got to learn to close out this game. So it will be interesting to see how they fare this year. But I think, personally, I think they should be doing pretty well with the players and the team they have up there. So we'll see how it goes. But I think those guys were happy to go up there and kind of join a team that's probably going to be in the mix, hopefully, for making playoffs and being in the playoffs.
And just back to the Islanders for a second. I know we did our mailbag last week. There was one question I think that somebody asked that you might have highlighted it too. Someone asked about breakaways, and you probably had as many or more breakaways than maybe anybody in the NHL during your time on the island. You scored a ton. I think people seem, like you were talking about with Brock, people seem to think that you didn't score on a lot of your breakaways, but I don't know if that's the case. It was kind of streaky from what I remember, and especially with the Rangers too. Every time I saw a Rangers highlight of you when you were there, you scored on a breakaway. So what is the deal with breakaways? Is it confidence? Is it making sure you decide to make a move before you get inside the blue line, before you lock eyes with the goalie? What was your thought process on a breakaway?
Probably blackout and hopefully a score. But no, like this question comes up so many times and people always say it. It's probably more magnified because I had so many, right?
But yeah.
look at a shootout. Like, what's a good shootout specialist or statistic for a guy in a shootout, right? Like, every time I watch, like, some of those skilled guys, like Keller or Kessel, like Kessel had 27% and he shot last game and missed, right? So here it should be almost easier. You're having a breakaway. You can think about what you're doing and you're going in. Obviously, it's not that easy, but I'm just sick of arguing with people that in a game, there's other factors, people back-checking you, you know, like the ice might be you coming from an angle, whatever it is. Like, people just assume you should be scoring on a breakaway, which my counterpoint is it's hard to score on breakaways sometimes, right? Like, a lot of games I've watched, I'll be like, a Patrick Kane going on a breakaway or someone and he misses. No one talks about it because he didn't get maybe as many, but, and he's also a different player than me, right? So I don't know why people always had this conception I never scored on breakaways. So yeah, I let them believe what they want. I think I scored almost 200 goals in the league. If they want to try to do that, go ahead, one of the fans, and see how it goes. But again, it's just, I just go with it. Kind of like the same thing with Phil Kessel and his hot dogs, right? Like, he just goes with it. Like, it is what it is. Like, I've talked to him about this. Like, people always say he loves hot dogs and he's not really that much of a fan of them. But again, he's not going out there trying to change people's minds. It is what it is. They believe what they want to believe. And again, I don't think breakaways are that easy, especially for a guy that's maybe not as skilled, right? Like I said, like, I got a lot of them. And I scored on some, I missed some. It's just the way it goes. But again, if someone shows me like a shootout specialist that has gone 100 times and scored like 75%, I'll be like, okay, you got a point. But again, it's tough to score in this league. And yeah, I don't know.
Hey, you played with Franz Nielsen, who was probably the best at shootouts in the history of shootouts. And he was only about 50%. So that's
exactly. That's my point. So like 50. So like, if I would literally need at 100 breakaways to score 50 goals then if I were 50%, right? So if you get like 40 of them, then you're 20. Like, it's all math, right? So it's people just saw me getting more. And like, when I scored, they're like, oh, he finally scored. And then I missed the next one. I was like, oh, he's back. He's missing breakaways, right? So like I said, I just laugh about it. I don't care. It is what it is. But it's just fun to see what people think, how easy it is supposed to be scoring every breakaway.
I'm glad we touched on this because clearly you had something you wanted to get off your chest here. So
if everybody can, I'm a little bit sensitive. No, it's just like I see all these comments on Twitter and stuff all the time, but I don't want to like write out a whole thing and stuff, right? So, but I've never really talked about it because again, like, it is what it is anyway. So just funny to me what people think, that how easy it is to score on breakaways.
Well, there you have it, everybody. Michael Grabner, breakaways. It's not easy. Let's stop talking about it because it was a long time ago.
I talked to Halsey, Taylor Hall, when we were here, and he was having a tough time scoring. And he's a fast guy, right? Like, sometimes it's harder when you're going a million miles an hour going down. He's like, what do you do? Like, because I was pretty successful a couple of years before the Islander at the Rangers. Sorry. So like,
right.
He was struggling and he's like, to me, like sometimes it's not that easy. You're trying to figure out, should you have like one move that you should make, or should you try to go just by instincts like we talked about and hope it works. So it's tough to figure out what the best solution is on a breakaway.
Maybe we'll have one next week. We'll have a whole segment devoted to thinking about breakaways and trying to figure it out, trying to crack the breakaway code. But
We can. Yeah, I tried everything. I've done it. When I was with the Islanders, I did after practice, I did breakaways and I would score like 7 out of 10, but then a game comes and I score like 1 out of 10, right? Like it's weird. You can do whatever you want. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
If I had this special sauce, I would tell you.
Well, thank you as always, Grabs. We appreciate you having you here. We got one more show with you next week. Maybe there'll be some better Islander stuff to talk about then.
Yeah, hopefully they have some more positive, but I'm sure they will. So see how it goes the next few games here.
Yep, and thanks for listening to No Sleep Till Belmont. Please follow us on your favorite podcast platform to leave a rating and review. If you're enjoying the show, it really helps us out. You can subscribe to The Athletic Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts to get all the bonus content from our entire network. Start with a 30-day free trial, then just 99 cents a month after that. And right now, you can save 50% on an annual subscription to The Athletic when you visit theathletic.com/nosleeptillbelmont. I'm Arthur Staple. That's Michael Grabner. We'll catch you again next week.